Discussions with Ajahn Suchin in Gangrajan in Bangkok, Thailand, September 2014, recorded and edited by Jonathan and Sarah. Speakers include Lan, Sarah, John, Alberto, Sundra, Suchin, Tadao, and other friends.
Ajahn, so I would ask the very basic questions. Let I tell the story that one day when I went with some sister, one said that if we go directly from Hue to Da Lat, it's shorter. And at that very right moment, I believe in that. At the very first moment when I listened to that, then I believe that without any thinking. Then I think at that moment, the characteristics of the belief, of the confidence, that was experience. Then the victim said that it's not the confidence, it's not the sadda, just the thinking. So it comes to the very basic question is that I think that everyone, not only those who Buddhists or who learn Dhamma, only one those have the confidence, but everyone and any being has the sadda, chetasika, but just that the sadda in the Noble Eightfold Path is different. The sadda in the Noble Eightfold Path is concerned with the belief in the karma or in the Dhamma.
That is not basic at all. At all. So the purpose of studying Dhamma is what? The purpose of studying the Dhamma, what is the purpose?
To understand the ultimate truth, no difference between anything.
Is the absolute truth here and now?
It is.
So how can we understand that as the self, as just a reality?
After reading or listening a lot, then we may think in that way. But actually, just the perception about that non-self impermanence.
Yes, if we do not understand what appears now, can we know that it is not self? When and where and how can there be the understanding of no self if it's not here and now?
I think it can be here or here and now, or the moment when even think about what not happened here and now.
No, but I mean that is there anything now or nothing at all? Is there something or anything here, now, or none at all?
There's something.
What is that?
Sometimes it's the thinking about the question, or sometimes it can be the touching.
Is the thinking real?
The thinking is real.
Is it real? It's real, right?
Yeah.
Is it the absolute reality? Not me. No one at moment of thinking.
Yeah, it's difficult because normally when
it's
thinking...
It's difficult, but shouldn't be studied in order to know that everyone studies the teachings to understand the absolute reality which is now appearing.
I think it's necessary to understand about the ultimate truth. Don't mind if it is now or thinking about.
So how can we know that if we don't know whatever appears, whether it's the ultimate truth or not? Where can you find the ultimate truth if it's not now?
At the moment of reading or listening to Sutta, may not appear now.
Only that, at that moment. What about here, teaching Sutta, thought about now? Otherwise, it's useless.
I think both now and what may not happen, may not occur now.
Does this moment arise and fall away?
Yes.
Is it real? Shouldn't it be known?
Yes.
So study. in order to understand that which now appears is not self at all. Otherwise, it's when thinking, dreaming about absolute reality, the ultimate truth, but where is that? If it's not now. So first of all, there should be the understanding of what is now. Otherwise, there can never be the understanding of the truth.
So now I'm trying to understand or to understand about the question which I asked. So there is sometimes there is the can then when you ask, then I won't think of the answer to reply you. So that at that moment there is the virya there, right?
No need to think about virya because we just talk about the words, no meaning at all. Where is that? Where is virya? Does it appear?
Sometimes.
It appears?
I think so. That's why I wonder, because I think at the moment when I see that the trying, the endeavor to reply you or to raise the question to
it's you, not virya.
It can be the virya, but arise together with the idea of I am asking question or something like that. But
it's not clear because it's gone. As soon as you think about anything, it's gone completely. How rapidly everything arises and falls away. That's why there should be the understanding of each reality as it is. Do not mix them together. Like seeing, I am seeing. What about whether there is virya with seeing or not?
Because you asked that there is seeing only or that I see. That's why then I have to look back. If there is the idea of I, then.
That's but thinking, right? Not seeing, not hearing, not virya.
Yeah, at the moment when I have to answer you.
Shouldn't it be known the moment? Because without this moment, there's nothing.
Of course, this moment or any other moment, because I heard Buddha repeat many times in the sutta that don't mind the perception of the rupa here or there or now or future or past or external or internal or near or far. So I think don't mind about or now or
so where. What do you mind about?
The extent or the truth doesn't mind.
The truth of what? The truth of what?
The truth of the truth of what we may think life or problem or what we may heard about the nama rupas.
So the truth of nama rupa? Are you saying?
It includes
the truth of nama and rupa, the word or the reality which is nama?
Of course that we just read and listen, so
is there nama now?
Yes.
To be known, to be studied, to realize the moment when it arises and falls away? Because you just talk about nama, the truth of nama. Before understanding the truth of nama, there must be the understanding of what nama is now. To understand its truth of that particular one.
I mean, the truth of nama is to understand right about nama, because just now we read or we heard many times that.
No, we, because nama is not we, it's not I. Nama is nama. How can a nama be me It's nama. No one at all.
So the truth of me or we also are necessary to be understood.
Taking nama for I, that idea is wrong understanding. Michatiti. Sakkayatiti, attanuditi. Cannot be right understanding. So how can there be no I in the nama?
How can be no?
No I, no self, no one in the nama. Nama is nama. Otherwise, you change the meaning of the teachings of the Buddha.
That's not what I want. That's not what I want to change the...
So understand nama clearly as nama, so that there cannot be the idea that nama is me. Because Buddha didn't say that.
Yes, of course.
Mm-hmm. Nama is nama.
When you asked about sadha earlier, so at this moment, if there's no understanding, then impossible to know whether the citta now is kusala or akusala. So how can anything be known about whether sadha arises or not? Because we know sadha just arises with moments of kusala. So when you gave your example about the way someone may think about the short way from Dalat to Hue, but just thinking with ignorance, so at those moments cannot be any sadha. So it's not a matter of whether one's heard about the teachings or not, but if it's not kusala citta, no.
So it
sadha.
Means that the sadha need to concern with the object, which is the dhamma or the karma. It's not the So when, let's say when the parents raise the children with the belief that they provide them good education or
So it's not like we discussed before, it's not a matter of the situation or the circumstances, because parents may seem to raise their children very well, but in the Dharma we're talking about realities, that's why Ajahn stresses so much about this moment, because if there's no understanding about Dharma or reality at this moment, nothing can be known. So if we're talking about Sada or Virya or any other factor, these are realities that arise with certain cittas. So we can't tell when there is Sada by talking about the situation or circumstance. Someone may be giving a lot of food to the dogs or helping people with umbrellas, but we can't say from the situation that
we don't say about that. We look at others, but they themselves may know that they have the belief in something. So
it's not a
what I wonder is that at the moment when they believe in something, don't mind the object of what they believe is, but there is a belief there.
This is not sadha, because sadha is a Sobhana Chetasika, it only arises with kusala chittas. So just because someone has a belief, like when I'm in England, my mother has a belief in God, if it's not kusala chitta, no sadha at all. And impossible to know when kusala chitta arises or doesn't arise unless there's understanding now of what appears at this moment. So what appears now? So Virya doesn't appear now, but maybe seeing appears or hardness appears. So if there's no understanding, impossible to know when sadha arises or not, even though we read in theory it only arises with kusala jitas.
So how about virya, which is someone when someone tries to do something? You mean that also there is not virya there? If not,
it can be right virya or wrong virya. So if someone, for example, tries to do something with the idea that I or the person can make it happen, then it is wrong area at that moment. So if, again, if it's not, if there's no understanding, impossible to know when it is right virya, sama virya, and when it is wrong virya, micha virya. Most of the day, virya arises with almost every citta after seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, and touching. So most of the day,
everyone.
And most of the day it arises with ignorance and attachment.
So it means that those one even believe in something, believe in peace, or believe in a healthy life, or believe in some other ideas. So at that moment, there's no belief there.
Just thinking with attachment, but it's not sadha. Because if it's not kusala, like they just believe, I'm just thinking about, oh, it's good to eat healthy food. It's not kusala citta, so no sadha. Sadha can only arise with kusala, wholesome cittas. So at this moment, if there's a little considering of what is real at this moment or what is useful at this moment, it's kusala at that moment of thinking. It doesn't seem like there's any belief, as we use the word belief, but at those moments of wise considering or moments of helping one's friend with some refreshment, of moments of generosity, at those moments there is sadha, because there is confidence in good, what is right at those moments.
So those one fight for those who have fight for the peace during the war, they are also don't have any belief. Even it seems that that is their idol of life, which is fight for their country. Let's say that.
One thing to bear in mind, and we were talking about this in the van on the way up here, is that the terms that are used to translate from the Pali, these factors like sadha, belief, and virya, energy, and so forth, they have a meaning in ordinary language, as well as being used for these particular dhammas. But when we are using them to as a translation for the dhamma, we need to remember that it has nothing to do with the ordinary meaning of the word. So lots of people have belief in different things, but it's nothing to do with sadha. So when we talk about sadha, it's a very special, a limited meaning of the word belief. Just like energy is, when it means, when it refers to virya, it's a very limited meaning of the word energy, not the general meaning of the word energy or effort. Just like awareness, when it's used for sati, it's a very constrained meaning of the word awareness. Sati is a kusala factor, mental factor. So it has a specific meaning. And sadha, we need to understand, refers only to confidence in the teachings that accompanies a wholesome citta. So we can't talk about people having belief and equating that to sadha.
Wrong belief.
You mean wrong sadha?
Yeah.
I haven't come across the term wrong sadha, because sadha is a kusala factor.
So
if a person believes in something that is a conventional idea, like peace or loyalty or love or anything like that, it
it's still a belief when we speak conventionally, but nothing to do with the wholesome mental factor called sadha.
May I ask you that the Buddha teached about the right sadha and wrong sadha?
I haven't heard anything.
Noble Eightfold Path or the wrong Eightfold Path?
Yeah, there is a wrong path. Mm-hmm.
So it means that there is the wrong sadha?
I'll have to pass on that question.
Would you like to say anything?
Okay, I'll try. Because sadha is only kusala viriya, it's different because we call it sadha when it's a kusala, we call it there is no way to say it is sadha, because do we know if it's kusala or if it's akusala, citta? But viriya is there all the time, most of the time. So even conventional. It's more difficult to explain.
Yes, but still, viriya is not what we conventionally mean by effort, even though viriya can arise with our kusala jittas as well as kusala jittas. In terms of understanding what viriya is, the conventional term effort isn't much use.
Sundar?
Hello. What? Some of these areas are not easy to sort of tease out, I don't think. What you seem to be saying to me before about saddha is a trust, as I understand it, is a trust in kusala. Like, saddha is bearing in mind. When there is kusala, there is saddha. But when there is just a belief, there doesn't have to be any sadha, you know, belief in peace, or, you know, there can be so many different things at that moment that are nothing to do with the Buddha's teachings and certainly nothing to do with sadha. So when there is, like, listening, a consideration of the Dhamma, we can be thinking of many, many things. And saddha is a very subtle quality, you know. And of course, we have to bear in mind that there are many levels of saddha, like giving and supporting and listening to Dhamma. There can be saddha at the level of, it doesn't have to be satipatthana, it can be just, even outside the Buddha's teachings, when you believe in the value of kusala and supporting people, there can be saddha there, you know, considering and being helpful and being considerate of other people. That can be levels of saddha there, but not necessarily saddha at the level of what the Buddha was talking about. So there are many levels of saddha, in a way, you know. But just like you mentioned before about listening to you know, wanting to help your country, that can be just a type of attachment. It doesn't have to be any sadhana there at all. It can be just attachment, many different types of attachment. But I think I really like I like your questions, because I sense that you are really trying to kind of sort out what's what's real and what is not, what is helpful and what is not. So I just encourage you to keep on asking those questions, because I think the Dhamma is difficult. It's not easy to understand. And I would really encourage you to keep asking those questions.
What do you think, Devi?
Well, I think that people can have very strong beliefs in doing what they feel is good, fighting for their country, supporting various organizations and so on. And this takes energy and it takes belief and so on. But these are mostly just akusala dhammas, because the moments that those dhammas arise are often there's dosa, there's attachment to a wrong belief or wrong understanding. And so it is different than those aspects of dhamma, which are wholesome, that arise with wholesome citta. They're not the same at all. And what Jonathan pointed out is that to equate conventional definitions and words to terms of Dhamma often cause confusion and often lead to misunderstanding.
We are talking about Satta, right? Does anyone know Satta? Just talk about Satta.
Just thinking about it.
Yeah. But does anyone know Satta now?
When there is a belief or trust in something, then
no. I just talk about the word Satta. No belief, no confidence, or anything at all. We are talking about a reality, right? Satta. But does anyone know it? Or just talk about it? We just want to talk about, or should we know what we are talking about better and better, little by little? Can anyone penetrate the characteristics of many cetasikas which arise together, like now? And how can there be the understanding, the extinction between cetasikas, one from the other? See, if we think a lot or consider a lot about confidence and belief, can we understand that it's a reality? No matter we call it what. Because if we call it belief, what is that? If we call it confidence, what is it? See, and when we heard the word satta, what is that? It's a reality, but we don't know all the cetasikas. We just try to understand each one as it is. Like Vedana, it appears and it is I, all the time in one's life, without understanding that it's conditioned to feel its feeling. In Pali is Vedana. So what is that in Pali, which means Satta, a reality? To me, I think that no matter with the word confidence or belief, it doesn't help to see Satta as it is. Because actually there are so many cetasikas which are almost the same. Very, very difficult to see the distinction between the two, like metta and attachment. See? So we just come across the term or the word satta and think in different ways. But if it's not the understanding of this moment, little by little, it's impossible to understand that which is not self, which has its own characteristic. What about the reality which is clean and clear? No lobha, no dosa, no moha at that very moment. Because we, even we talk about moha or ignorance, it always arises with lobha attachment or aversion. And a lobha can be understood as moment of being attached. And dosa is the moment when there is aversion. Where is lobha, moha to be understood? Because it doesn't appear. Only attachment, lobha appears, and dosa appears. So when we talk about just a reality which is wholesome jetasikas, satta, it doesn't arise alone. It arises with other jetasikas, which is more, which is easy
more or evident.
More evident to understand, but not to directly understand it when it appears, because it arises and falls away in split seconds. So if we think in terms of satta as that reality which is clear and clean from akusala, it's hard. But is there a reality which is not confidence, which is not belief, but it arises with right understanding when there is the belief in something which is not wrong? So I think it's not a question trying to know what satta is, but the basic understanding is knowing the difference between that which is nama and that which is rupa, not only words, but now that which experiences and that which cannot experience. This is the beginning, not satta in the beginning. Otherwise, it's only thinking, I think this way, or the other tell me that the path or the way to where can be started in Dalat or something like that. So what's the purpose of studying the teachings? To understand that which is now appearing, no matter what it is, to learn to know that it's real, it's a reality, it appears, but to ignorance, different from appear to right understanding, from hearing, considering, and directly experiencing.
Listen or read those two sutta which Buddha taught, what does not arise in me now?
If one study or read sutta without the understanding of the Abhidhamma, can that one have right understanding of whatever is there in the sutta, like satta, or do not do wrong deeds or something like that? It seems like one can do, but actually he talk about realities. That which does not do wrong must be moment of kusala.
Yeah, I see the benefit.
Not me.
I see the benefit of understand and have knowledge about the Abhidhamma, then will support better for understand right about the sutta.
So no matter what are there in suttas, concern Abhidhamma, Dhamma, there must be Dhamma, the absolute Dhamma there.
And because you always bring back to what Dhammas arise now, appear now.
Certainly.
But actually when reading the Majjhima Nikaya or Samyutta or Diga Nikaya, then many cases that it may not arise now.
Whether reading the suttas, the Vinaya or the Abhidhamma, there's no distinction because the Buddha taught there are only realities, only dharmas, only namas and rupas, which are conditioned, not self. So only with this understanding can there be a reading of suttas which use conventional language and understand it's still just about realities. So if the Buddha were talking about traveling from Dalat to Hue, it's just normal conversation, but in fact, in reality, no one who travels, no trip, no Dalat, no Hue, no belief in this or that, actually just cheetahs arising, one cheetah at a time, accompanied by different chetasikas, each one conditioned, so sometimes accompanied by sadha, sometimes accompanied by virya, sometimes not. So it's only by understanding that there are only these different dharmas can there be the understanding, whatever one reads, whether it's the Buddha's teachings or anything else, that actually only ever just different realities. And this can only be ever known or understood by coming back to this moment. Because if nothing is known about reality now, nothing can be known about reality at other times, like when you mentioned internal, external, far, near. It doesn't matter. It's all about just reality that can only be known now. So then when there is that understanding, one knows that that's how it was in the past, that's how it'll be in the future, that's how life always is or was. So there's no conflict, no difference between what is read in the different parts of the teachings. But without the understanding of dharmas as anatta, there will always be confusion because it'll always be taken for I and things and situations and stories.
I don't understand totally about what you bring back to the what appears now, because I have thought that because I didn't know much, so if just bring back to the present moment, then it will be very limited because I didn't know much.
But you know, seeing. Didn't Buddha say anything about seeing?
Then I see that when I read what Buddha teach for many in many situations, for many listeners, then I would know more and understand more.
And did he say anything about seeing?
He did, but not only that.
Okay. Since we are now seeing, should we know what he taught about it?
I see that if any time I just bring back to see or listen or touch or feeling, then I will not know about other things which Buddha taught.
Is there other thing besides seeing now, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching that you'd like to know? Does it appear? What appears at moment of seeing? What else appear at moment of seeing? See? And seeing is not known. Even it sees, but you try to understand that which does not appear.
If I completely understand about the seeing, then I don't need any others. But I think studying or learning on what Buddha taught in the suttas, then we support for the completely understand about the present moment, about the very right moment of seeing.
So you just want to study that which does not appear now?
Not really.
Why? Seeing appears, hearing appears, visible object appears, sound appears.
But because anytime when bring back to that, I still think the same, or I still experience the same. What I think support for me is that learn from what Buddha taught in many other.
In order to understand seeing,
it will support for that complete understanding about seeing.
But can you understand that? Do you think that it supports to understand seeing?
That's what the benefit I saw, because when I read in the suttas which Buddha taught in, then I will understand more aspect about one dhamma.
So tell me what you read that can support the understanding of seeing right now.
That the seeing right now can arise altogether with many other dhammas, not only seeing alone.
Many things arise with seeing, and what are the many things?
Rupa, the chitasika, and then not only that, very moment, but it has the concern with the past and the later, maybe near or far, in the future, right after that, or maybe very long, it will be the food for very long in the
cycle. Can those moments be known, like seeing?
Actually, because it has the connection with many other.
Like thinking, like thinking. Can it be known?
Not completely.
Can it be known? Because there's thinking now, like seeing. If thinking can be known, why not seeing can be known? When there's more understanding about realities.
Yes, sometimes
citta, cetasikas, and rupa. So if you just want to talk about citta, okay, cetasikas, and rupa. But
I don't talk to for the intellectual.
What citta would you like to talk about? What cetasika you like to talk about? You just want to talk about satta, right? Or what else? Now, we have talked a lot about satta. Is it known as not self? Or think that there is a reality? We call it satta, and we don't know when, and we don't exactly understand the characteristic of it, which is different from other reality. And we think that we know, but actually it's only thinking.
Is too big and too complicated, and it just say that thinking is cannot be clear for the difference and the extinction between many other, which is called thinking.
So let's make it clear what is thinking.
A series of perception about something.
So, for example, now we're having a discussion. So, when there is no seeing or hearing or smelling or tasting or touching, is there thinking?
Yeah.
So, most of the time there is thinking. So, after seeing, there's thinking very soon. After hearing, there's thinking very soon.
I know that. Just very little percentage that seeing or hearing or touching or feeling, but many other, almost other thinking. But the understanding is just limited like that. Cannot go further.
So the main point is that usually we take it for my thinking. We think that I'm thinking about this and that, or someone else is thinking this or that. But just
there
different
is the
dhammas.
Idea of I or my thinking that just the thinking many times.
Yeah. So we can think about anything. We can there can be thinking about having faith in this or thinking about confidence in that. But the point is, it's not actually the reality of sadha that is appearing. So at moments of kusala, so after seeing, usually attachment and ignorance, but occasionally there are moments of kusala, such as when there's a little understanding or wise reflection on what we're discussing, or at moments of generosity. And at those moments of kusala, just for a moment, no clinging, no ignorance, no taking anything for self. So at those moments, the citta is clean and clear, as Ajahn said. At that moment, there is kusala. So sadha is there at that moment. So gradually, understanding can develop to come closer and closer to the reality. But it can only ever be at this moment. So it seems like you're saying, because nothing much is known at this moment, and because nothing as much is known about seeing or hearing now, so better to think about other aspects of the teachings or read about other things, because too difficult to know anything at this moment. But the reason that she will always bring the discussion back to this moment is because if it's not understanding now of what appears now, it cannot be any other time. So we will always just continue to live in a world of concepts, stories and ideas if there's no beginning to understand what is real at this very moment. So it always has to be now.
Can thinking be known now? Thinking can be known as a concept, as an object. I believe it can be known, and that's what the Buddha was talking about, knowing thinking.
And actually, if there wasn't thinking, then we wouldn't see people and objects, because as we know, seeing just sees visible object and hearing just hears sound and so forth. But the idea of the people and things that are seen and the situation is all due to thinking. So sometimes, you know, what we may take thinking to be visible object, we may think, oh, visible object is the person or the room or something like that, which, as we know from our theoretical understanding, is not correct. So there's lots of things to be known about thinking.
Yes.
Yeah, and also you were talking about sadha, but when there is they sing, is there sadha? When there is seeing, is there sadha as well with the seeing citta?
It's not obviously that characteristic of sadha. I think not obviously expressed or experienced at that moment.
Is
only only seven cetasika with seeing. So there's no sadha with seeing, and no viriya either, but. Then there might be sadha or viriya after seeing. But do we know seeing as seeing, and which is not what follows? seeing which has viriya and maybe sadha. Do we know the difference between these two different moments of citta?
When you say that sometime it appears, did you say that?
The characteristic of sadha or different moment than characteristic
so
of
to you it
different when
sadha appears sometimes like right to you
what I think sadha
okay at moment when it appears does it appear like seeing now appearing
no
so you. It's not the moment that you think that you understand or see sadha, right? You just keep on thinking about it. But now seeing, you don't have to think because it sees. Right? And only that moment is seeing, no other moment. So the seeing is a reality which arises to see only and then falls away instantly. Arising and falling away by conditions. And that is meant by Dhamma and Anatta. No one can do anything. It now arises, it sees. That's all.
That then I will understand what you said. Bring back to the very moment that it's the so that is the way which is the meditators they often try that to be mindful on whatever arise and appear.
Not to be mindful by ignorance. But there must be understanding, which condition moment of right awareness with understanding.
But because currently there is not much knowing, knowledge, so that's every time it will bring back to that present moment, but very limited, that every time the same, not any more understanding.
Without each present moment, can there be life or samsara?
Originate.
So understanding develops to understand each moment as not self. Not just this is self and this is not self. Panya develops so it can see all dhammas are not self. Thinking is not self. Hearing is not self. Heartness is not self.
So every time we think, then by the effect of that, having listened too much, then every time we bring back, then we think that this is not self. This
otherwise, you cannot understand anything when it does not appear.
The present moment with the thinking from the beginning that with the thinking
there must be conditions. No. You cannot bring anything back to this or that, but it depends on conditions.
It seems that now you make that habit for us that bring back to the present moment which arises.
Like, for example, when the meditator talks about trying to be aware of present moment, is this right or wrong? Right or wrong understanding?
I think that is the same way what...
If one understands what Ajahn is saying as one should try to be aware or try to bring back to the present moment. Is that right or wrong understanding?
The moment trying is just moment, and after that is the equanimity.
Is it right or wrong? Right or wrong trying at that moment of trying to be aware, trying to come back to the present moment? Right or wrong virya, right or wrong understanding?
Is that the wise thinking?
Sorry?
Is that the wise thinking
wise
to
or
develop? To develop how some dhamma
is it,
and
is it wise or unwise thinking when there's the idea of trying to be aware at the present
so
moment?
What is the difference between the trying to be aware of what appears now and what Achan often said?
The difference is understanding naturally, understanding that what appears at this moment arises just by conditions, including understanding, as opposed to trying to understand, trying to be aware with an idea that I can understand, I can be aware, I can have effort arise to know this moment. So the difference is having utter belief or no utter belief.
Even there is not that the idea that I will understand or but that is the trying there.
Even one doesn't put it in any words, as soon as there's an idea of trying, like trying to understand, trying to be aware, trying to think about this moment, self is there. It's not understanding naturally. It's not knowing anything about conditioned dharmas. And this is exactly the reason why Ajahn talks about seeing now, what appears now, visible object. Because if there's no understanding now of seeing as a conditioned reality, just the reality at this moment that it experiences what is seen arising by conditions falling away instantly, no one making it happen, no one choosing to see at this moment, visible object, just that which appears, just that which is seen, no one choosing now to have visible object or which visible object. And it's the same with all other dharmas. So if we don't understand anything about seeing now or what is seen now, there will be an idea of I trying to be aware, trying to understand, trying to find the shortcut all the time. So the whole purpose of the teachings is to understand there are only conditioned dharmas now that are anatta. So the suttas of Vinaya, every aspect that we read, it's just for the purpose of understanding reality at this moment as anatta, no other purpose.
It seems like a new habit to be back to present moment with the thinking of directing or focus leading to the right understanding.
If there can be understanding of seeing right now as it is, right or wrong.
Because too complicated and too many relations. Not only that dhamma, only it has the connection and relationship
but,
with many others.
But even that is not known. So how can you expect to understand the other things?
In order to understand that the very only one that dhamma, then you need to study many other things.
Yes, right. Because now, what appears. See, right answer or wrong answer. Study.
There are many dhammas. There is only one dhamma that appears. There appears, it seems that there are many, many, but there's only one that appears. It seems like there are many, but there is only one at a time. Only one at a time. Not many, many.
But so, it's so fast. Pass away and
that's
it
thinking,
has the...
That's thinking.
Is that now arise in power and pass away immediately?
Is this seeing now? Is this seeing now?
Is that does it arise and pass away immediately?
Seeing arises and passes away immediately.
Does seeing has the connection with other nama or rupa?
It can be nama, it can be rupa. Seeing experiences rupa. Seeing experiences rupa. See, there is seeing, and it has visible object as the object.
Yes.
And now.
Does it has the connection or relationship with other dhammas?
Everything's related.
It's only one or many?
Many relationships, many conditions.
So it arises or it passes away, but it still has a relationship and influence and affect with many others.
Sure. Many relationships. But there is seeing now. And when we ask a lot of those questions, there's just a lot of thinking. That can be an object of awareness too. Thinking is real. But the object is not real.
The object of the rupa is not real?
No, the object of thinking is not real.
The concept?
Concept is not real. Thinking is real, the concept is not real.
Concept can be the can be the object for understanding.
No, well.
I think when we read or learn sutta now, then many concepts there, because we up to now we haven't had the right understanding about what Buddha taught. So what we read or listen about that that word, just the concept about that word.
When we talk about understanding things that we read in the suttas, that is a certain kind of understanding. But it's when we talk about awareness of a reality appearing now, that does not include concepts.
Does not include
concept.
Then concept is the object for us to understand, right?
Not in the sense of the awareness taught in the Satipatthana Sutta.
Because now how can we have that understanding at the level of
Satipatthana?
Well, it has to begin sometime. That's what we've been talking about up until now. When Ajahn is talking about does seeing appear now? Because there can be a level of awareness of a Dhamma that appears now.
So then the level of understand when at the moment of seeing or hearing or touching is different, and the level of understand when we read what Buddha taught in the suttas or Vinaya is different.
Many levels of understanding.
Yes. So.
So we have to find out the truth of what we are talking about, like what is concept. Without reality, can there be concept?
It's too fast.
Then cannot see
it
that.
It doesn't matter at all. It always like that. You cannot change it. You cannot stop it. You cannot do anything. But learn to understand that now, what is seen is gone. The seeing is gone. Everything is gone. That is the rapidity of the succession of realities, which covers up the truth. That actually, even there is clinging or attaching to anything, that has gone already. So one is always having attachment to that which has gone. So we learn to understand that actually, there is nothing permanent at all, even right now. And this is taught in Sutta. Did Buddha say that seeing is me, I, someone? Or did he say that it's a reality, absolute reality? It's anatta. It's not that which is seen, but it's that which experiences or sees only. No one there, no you. Otherwise, there must be the idea that I see all the time. Like now.
Even at the moment, there is not idea of I see, but there's still the not understanding there.
What appears or arises after seeing, or that which is seen, has gone? What is there after that? Yeah, always unknown. That's why we learn to understand that which just arises by conditions and falls away instantly, to know that actually that past one cannot be anything at all, because it just arises by conditions and it falls away instantly. So how can there be I see when there is more and more understanding of the arising and falling away of realities by conditions? No one can do anything, but panya begins to understand, because understanding is different from ignorance. Ignorance cannot understand what appears now from moment to moment, but understanding begins to understand little by little that actually there's no permanent thing or reality at all.
Then if that attachment is still has its effect to for the further thinking by that way.
There is not thinking yet. When the process of seeing has completely gone, there is no thinking in terms of concept yet. But there's thinking of shape and form, unknowingly, like now, succeeds very rapidly, that as soon as seeing arises, there's the idea of I see something, a glass or a table or people. Many, many processes arising and falling away in succession.
May I separate that may not have the idea that I see the table, but just the thinking that it is the table.
Learn to understand the way it is, that thinking is not seeing. Attachment, lobha, is not seeing. Everything is so very minute, so very fast, arising and falling away. It's like magician, like now, people and things. Otherwise, Buddha didn't teach about Paramada Dhamma, Abhidhamma, Citta, Cetasika, and Rupa. If they cannot be known or understood, but his teachings is Vajja Satya, the truth of everything that he had realized by himself, by his accumulation, to be Samma Sambuddho. And when he just became Buddha, at that moment he had no inclination to teach, because it's so very subtle, very deep. But since there must be those who had accumulated lots of understanding enough to understand, so he taught. Do you believe that there is no self? Or you think that it's me who thinks, who want to understand satta or anything, something? Or even right then, know you, but thinking things about such and such. Can there be any word without thinking? And all the four noble truths are so very subtle. Not only one, not only the third one, but each four is very subtle. So the path is included, so very subtle. Only there must be the intellectual understanding, the pariyatti, which can condition the patipatti, because patipatti is getting close, approaching the truth of that which is now appearing. Otherwise, it passes away with ignorance all the time.
What appears with the Buddha is totally different what appears with us.
But he taught us to experience exactly the same with right understanding of that level. Otherwise, there wouldn't be Savaka. Savaka, the Aryan, the following.
And before, when you talked about concepts, when they're thinking about concepts, and you asked whether concepts can be the object of understanding, so, like before Ajahn arrived, there was some mention of vipassana. If one's talking about vipassana, then it's referring to realities. But before there can be any understanding of realities, there has to be understanding of those realities by thinking about the concepts of the realities. So this is the pariyatti. Without the pariyatti, there can never be the patipatti, the direct understanding of realities, or the realization or enlightenment, the pativeda. So the Buddha's understanding is completely different, but he pointed to the realities. So now there has to be the beginning of understanding theoretically about those realities at this moment. So when we talk about seeing an visible object, it doesn't mean there is understanding at this moment of seeing or understanding right now of what is seen, but it's the beginning, by beginning to understand that actually there are only six worlds. So we're used to thinking that we live in a world of books and tables and places, but by thinking and considering more about the realities, we begin to realize actually just realities appearing now. So it has to begin with the theoretical understanding. So it's the beginning of understanding the Buddha's teachings.
So that is the wise way to simplify the too complicated dhammas.
So this is why, because at the beginning you talked about basic question, and as Jan said, this is the basics, beginning to understand seeing now, what appears to seeing, visible object now. Without beginning to understand these dhammas which appear right now, then impossible to understand what is the nature of sadha or what is the nature of virya. So that's why she will always come back to the basics at this moment, beginning to understand seeing as a reality, not self that sees. Otherwise there will always be the idea of someone who can try, someone who can be aware.
Was there sattva when she talks about reality?
It doesn't express obviously, so I cannot. But it seems that what appear obviously is though when the parents raise their kids. Or the Muslim, they believe in their
to me, when someone is sharing Dharma or
at this moment or reflecting wisely, sadha is more obvious than when we read about someone raising their kids or something like that. Because when sharing Dharma, this is moments of kusala, there is sadha, and we know that sharing Dharma is the greatest kusala, helping others, understanding, helping others. So at those moments must be kusala, must be sadha at those moments. But when we talk about raising kids, most of the day, just attachment because it's my kids.
Sadha is confidence in the Dhamma, in the teachings. It's not any other kind of confidence. It's not confidence in general. So only confidence in the teachings counts as the mental factor that's called sadha. So a person believing in a god, for example, has cannot be anything to do with sadha.
That is the new input for me. That only the sadha arise with the wholesome chittas only. I still wonder that those the trust or the confidence or the belief or the hope you just say that it's the thinking only, but actually that thinking is different from others, and it may affect
unwholesome.
Even wholesome or unwholesome. When they raise the parents, the kids, then it may be wholesome. And for the Muslim, they believe in their own.
How could that be wholesome? What kind of kusala is that?
They try to do good. The parents try to do good for their children. They didn't do anything wrong then. That maybe the very low level of wholesome, but that is the wholesome deeds, wholesome bodily deeds.
So wholesome citta arises all day. For parents to the kids.
May not the level of wholesome citta, but there may be the wholesome bodily deeds.
What is wholesomeness?
Not killing, not telling lies, not drinking.
Can the rupa be wholesome?
Cannot.
Mm-hmm. So how can one understand wholesome as not attachment?
Of course, they may do something good with the attachment, but that is the wholesome bodily deeds.
And what's the distinction between the two, attachment and kindness, or metta and lobha?
Has its own characteristic or effect or influence or power.
So what's the characteristic of metta?
Adosa for everyone, for every being.
Easy to say, but not easy to know.
Yeah.
That's why we can say that it's not me, seeing is not me, hearing is not me. But how can there be the letting go or no attachment to seeing as my seeing or I am seeing?
Under very that's thick, why, very thick covers.
Yeah, yeah. Can it be little by little to be object of understanding?
I think in between or on the way, then many others will support.
And
to,
what
to
is the way, the right way to understand seeing, because so very subtle?
In order to understand completely about seeing, then
not complete yet, just begin. And what's the way to begin to understand?
Oh, it's very difficult question because it's too complicated and find
so
what
no
to begin.
If it's so, yeah.
So, it's very interesting if you say that what is to begin.
What is the beginning to understand seeing? Because you said it's so very subtle. But the Buddha knew all about everything. It's subtle, but can anyone listen to his teachings in order to understand what he taught little by little?
Now it seems that we are not from the beginning, so it's too difficult to say that to begin with, to start or to originate from one point, because.
There has to be a beginning.
So no beginning at all while we are here, no beginning? Or can it be the beginning?
Because it's like a chaos, and then how to point to the beginning?
Is there an opportunity now? To know what appears. Is there an opportunity now?
What do you mean to begin is to bring to start with
seeing
now,
to understand that the teachings of the Buddha is so real it can be understood at any time while one can understand the teaching little by little, like what is the meaning of Dhamma, this word, its Pali word. What is that? Buddha realized Dhamma, the true nature of Dhamma. He taught Dhamma. Those who listen to Dhamma can attain the understanding of Dhamma. So what is Dhamma? The beginning.
I'm happy to hear that can understanding about and the Dhamma at any time.
So what is it, Dhamma? Did he say anything about Dhamma? Can we say that what is real is Dhamma? And what is real now? Why did he say that seeing is a Dhamma, hearing is a Dhamma?
The attachment or the suffering is also Dhamma.
Seeing is a Dhamma, right? Why is it a Dhamma?
It's real.
It's real. It's conditioned. Even Buddha cannot make it to arise, right?
Yeah.
This is the meaning of Dhamma, anatta, not self, arising and falling away. Whatever arises is conditioned. See? No one can make it arise. And as soon as it has arisen, it falls away instantly. And this is Dhamma. Nothing is permanent. Is it true? So we learn more to understand that seeing arises and falls away. It doesn't belong to anyone. It's conditioned just to see and then fall away instantly. No more. Never come back. This is the way to gradually detach from the idea of self, little by little, and this is the beginning.
That then it may bring back, let's say, the side effect that it arises and pass away completely and no any link or connection with any other. But actually the problem is that it has the relationship together, and it may become the attachment, or it may leading the way to free from that attachment.
Well, all dhammas are conditioned, and they are conditioned by other dhammas. So, in that sense, there's a link. But when a dhamma is object of awareness, it doesn't matter about any links of that kind.
Is that the link is not being known or understood or penetrated?
Yes.
Because the link is under that and at a deeper or more subtle.
But we are talking about the beginning level of understanding. And the beginning level of understanding is just understanding a Dhamma that's appearing now, not understanding the whole story about the links and so on.
But by accumulations, can the beginning point is different from different peoples?
What do you mean by link? What reality is the link?
The dependent origin license.
What is that?
And not only that,
the previous citta has fallen away, but there's still citta after that, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that there is nothing after that citta has fallen away, right? So the citta which falls away conditioned the next one by anantara paccaya, non-stop, unseen, unaware, because seeing this moment is not the past seeing, not the previous one. But how come to have citta all the time from birth to death? Because whenever citta arises, it conditions the next one immediately, suddenly. No gap.
And the next one may connected with the before that, or it may be the result of karma.
Does the citta now know the previous citta?
Has already
it
passed
cannot
away.
Know the previous citta because it's conditioned by that citta to experience whatever the object is by conditions. That's why when we talk about the paticca-samuppada, not only avijja conditioned sankhara, but by what type or what kind of paccaya in details. In order to begin to see all dhammas as not self. And this is the beginning to learn to understand citta, cetasika, and rupa in order to have more and more understanding of each one, not all together at once like parents and kids. So when we talk about citta, we don't talk about citta before. When we talk about seeing, we don't talk about citta before or after seeing. We just talk about the seeing itself. How many moments seeing arise?
Is the result of the previous karma.
No, I mean that how many moments of seeing which arise. There is seeing right now. How many moments of seeing arise?
Very few can be known or experienced.
In a day, how much seeing?
Or now.
Or
now.
Millions, trillions.
Countless. They might have some understanding about that. It is the seeing is the result of previous karma, and it
no,
has.
No, that's why we just talk about seeing in understand just one karakitta which can see or which sees now. We don't talk about thinking. We don't talk about citta before seeing or after seeing. We just talk about seeing itself in order to really understand.
But understanding about the seeing has on so many levels, right?
You're talking about the story of seeing, not the reality of seeing.
You may call that the story of you may call the thinking of dry understanding about the seeing is the story.
No, if you're talking about what is the cause of seeing, for example, or what is conditioning the seeing now, that's the story of seeing. But we're talking about the reality of seeing, that is the Dhamma that appears at the present moment.
Yeah, that's one understanding about the seeing. One, you may say that seeing is a conditioned Dhamma, and it arises with many conditions.
But what is the beginning level of understanding of the seeing that appears now?
It is a conditioned Dhamma.
Well.
Or in other aspect, it may have some other aspect that it is the. It is the result of previous karma, or it may be the object for the attachment in the future.
That's all thinking about it, isn't it? That is, but we are talking about direct experience of seeing now, its characteristic. What is the characteristic of seeing?
To experience the object.
Right.
So, is there awareness of seeing as that which experiences visible object? Can there be awareness?
Just the remembering or thinking that the function of seeing is experience visible object.
Thinking that is different than from direct awareness. So, what's the beginning level of understanding about seeing? Of direct awareness of seeing?
Because now hasn't had the direct experience about that seeing consciousness, so the beginning just remembering that it is the Dhamma which experiences the visible object.
just the thinking about that, because not yet experience.
So no direct awareness. So what Ajahn's been talking about this evening is awareness of a reality appearing now. And not something that's thinking about a particular Dhamma. So in order for direct awareness to begin to develop, we need to know what can be the object of awareness, because what can be the object of awareness at beginning levels may be quite different from the kind of mental factors like saddha and metta and all these things that people would like to develop and have more of.
Why not? When that is very strong and it expresses obviously than others. When that attachment or that belief is stronger than the seeing, then of course it will be the Dhamma, which is experience.
But what appears now and most of the day? Kusala mental factors or seeing and hearing?
Might be many attachment or...
probably attachment and aversion.
Yeah.
And conceit and these unwholesome factors.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Is anyone talking about having awareness of them? No, it's always the kusala factors they would like to have more awareness of.
Easily being attentive.
And for example, when you were talking about the links, and you mentioned attachment and how there may be attachment after seeing, so people would like to, they think they would like to have less attachment. Why? Because it's my attachment they would like to get rid of. So is it actually understanding, or is it still clinging to the idea of my attachment that one would like to know and would like to have less of?
Just mix it both. Maybe just one less attachment. Not that I want it less.
So how can attachment be known as a Dhamma? Just a Dhamma, not my attachment.
It can be that attachment, and that attachment is expressed or show up more obviously than the idea of I am attached. That's more stronger, more obvious. That attachment.
And whether it's attachment now or seeing or visible object or metta, does it matter whether it's attachment or metta now?
Yeah, anything can be the object of understood, and wholesome dhammas need to be developed, and what is unwholesome dhamma are not the what need to develop.
Because the development of understanding has to grow with detachment. So no matter its attachment, no matter its metta, no matter its seeing, they're just conditioned dharmas that fall away instantly. So usually there's a minding, one would like to have more metta and less attachment, but actually it's still clinging to my attachment, my metta. It's not the detachment with understanding that just learns to understand and be detached from whatever appears.
The interesting and important point, because it can be the attachment only, not every time that with the idea of I or my.
Are we now talking about that which does not appear?
Appear now as Ajahn, because there is attachment now, but not all the time that I have the idea that it is my attachment.
Does attachment appear like seeing it's now appearing?
For me, it's more obvious.
What is more obvious?
The seeing or the hearing or the touching seems to be noticed, but the attachment or ignorance seems to be more testy.
Impossible. Otherwise, you know what is the object of attachment directly. If you say that there is attachment more than seeing, it means that there is no seeing, there's always attachment which appears. No seeing now, only attachment appear, or what?
It's
or seeing. No, seeing sees right now. Attachment. Attached to what? It doesn't appear or does it appear? Attachment. Or seeing a visible object which is seen appear. So should we talk about that which appear because it can be object of right understanding little by little? Because nobody cannot change the characteristic of either seeing or the visible object which appear.
So, Ajahn, can that be that by different accumulation, then it will be different attention to what is the object for understanding?
The accumulation is just want to talk about that which does not appear, or the accumulation is not seeing or understanding, seeing as not self, not me. So there should be more understanding by considering and talking about it in order to develop the understanding of seeing, which is very difficult. Like all other realities, they are very difficult to really penetrate or directly understood it as it is. Like attachment. You think that you have attachment, but attachment to what? Does it appear?
Yes.
Attachment to what?
To what I want to know.
To what? To the story.
Not really to try understanding.
No matter we talk about seeing, but there is seeing right now. So you keep on thinking about seeing without developing the understanding of seeing. Because seeing appears to be object of understanding. But you keep on thinking about it. And attachment and other thing else. So how can there be the direct understanding of seeing, as Buddha said? It's conditioned. It arises. It sees only that.
Can we say, Ajahn, that if attachment seems more apparent or obvious, as Lan says, that actually it's the story of attachment more rather than the reality.
When one is taught that attachment is such and such, one thinks about it, but it's not moment of understanding attachment. because there must be object of attachment. Like now, there is attachment to seeing as my seeing. It's not known. But seeing now sees. And the more we consider the truth of it, it can condition right understanding of an object as not self. Seeing sees, and you turn away from it. Think about the other things. No moment to understanding it at all.
Attachment or...
There is seeing now. And where is the attachment?
By accumulation, then it's not obvious or it's not appearance to be...
Yeah, there is seeing. And you said that there is attachment to what? To seeing or to what? Because now there is seeing. There is visible object now. Where is the attachment? To that which is seen or to what?
There is the attachment now is to what is listened.
What is not seen.
What is heard.
To the word.
But now there is also the hearing and then the attachment.
There must be attachment to hearing, right? Yeah. And then attachment to that which is heard, right? Yeah. Which is word only. Before that, there is attachment to sound already, unknown. So attachment is always unknown, but you think, just thinking about it.
It's a very deep level to know that attachment to that sound. But what is more apparent or more obvious is attachment to what is when be heard.
There is the idea that I want, no understanding of attachment at moment of wanting. I just want, no understanding of attachment at that moment. It's only I want. And you learn that wanting is attachment, a reality, so you assume that it's attachment. But attachment does not appear as a reality which is not you. So when we talk about any reality, it's characteristic, right? Not just a reality. Each reality has its own individual characteristic. But there is no understanding of such characteristic as not self at all. Is there attachment now? Easy or difficult to say?
It's easy to say that there is attachment now.
To what?
To what may be expected to...
Thinking. Only thinking about attachment. It's not the moment of there is attachment right then. To such certain object, to see attachment as not me, it's that characteristic which likes, which is attached.
But Ajahn can see that there is the attachment there, and that that is the condition for later on. Because of that attachment, then I will think of what to ask or what to
keeps on thinking. All the time, the story of attachment. Like now, I am attached to this, I am attached to that, but the characteristic of attachment does not appear as object, as of panya, to see or to understand that. That is attachment.
Maybe not yet know at very detail, but the state of attachment can be known now.
When it appears only.
Yeah, when it is appear, is it appearing now in me? So
to what appear to attachment to what?
To what you may think?
No, that is thinking again. Not to that very particular moment when it's attached to that object.
to the
so you think
audible
about it.
Object.
Pardon?
To the
now we talk about just now.
To the content which is being heard or wanting to be heard.
It's not clear because it's not moment of understanding it. It's just moment of thinking about it. So there can be intellectual understanding, thinking about Dhamma wisely. And that is the intellectual understanding, which is not yet direct understanding.
Now, during the conversation, and then I bring back to the seeing, then I cannot understand what you are saying. And I cannot ask what I...
So you mean that I talk about that which does not appear? Or it appears, but there is no understanding of it. When I talk about seeing, does it mean that I talk about that which do not appear at all? Or I'm talking about seeing while there is seeing right now to understanding the characteristic, the reality of it, that no one can see seeing because there's no shape, no form. It's completely mental reality which is conditioned to just arise and see. That's all. At moment of seeing. So just learn not to forget that seeing is not me at this moment. It arises, so it sees. If it does not arise, there is no seeing. So it's not anyone who sees right now. Begin to think about it and to begin to understanding that characteristic which has no shape, no form. No one can detect seeing with the idea of self, but begin to see that it's real, it's a reality, it's conditioned. Without the eye base, it cannot arise. Without the object that can impinge on the eye base, it cannot arise. Without the previous karma, seeing cannot arise either. So just a moment of seeing, in a moment, there are many conditions for its arising. But ignorance cannot understand that. So ignorance take it for I see. And so when it arises and falls away in split seconds, and the visible object also arises and falls away in split seconds, that is the idea of the succession of the arising and falling away of the visible object as something with shape and form. But actually, what you take for permanent shape, form, being, things, are only the succession of the arising and falling away of realities in split seconds. So we live in the world of magic. And who makes it like that? The succession of the rapidity of the arising and falling away of all dhammas. So that's why, in order to really be able to eradicate the idea of self permanently, absolutely, there must be the understanding of each reality which appear, so that we can see that no one can make it arise. If it does not arise, there is no seeing. So seeing is just a moment, but many, many moments arising and falling away condition the nimitta, the sign of shape and form of something like permanent thing all the time. Whenever there is clinging to that which is seen, which is gone all the time. So one begins to see that one clings to that which is gone, no more, from birth to death, even right now. And this is the beginning of understanding the truth of that which appears. Would you like sati to be aware of satta? Impossible. No selection. even thinking is conditioned by does this person think like this, while the other person doesn't think like this.